The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Hello everyone, welcome along to the Punt Podcast here with William Hill. It is William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast, and Dave Kellner, Lee Phelps and Derek McGovern with you again to go through the 10 Premier League football matches this weekend. Mr. Phelps, you've got something to say early in the piece.
I always think you should put your name last. I keep meaning to say this to you. Derek's a star attraction.
Am I?
Yeah.
Good to hear.
Well, that's the worrying bit. So it should be Derek McGovern. I don't mind if I go last. Dave Kellner and Lee Phelps.
Should it?
Yeah, I think so.
It's never going to change. That's why I'm sat in the seat. I can control all these faders. I can do whatever the hell I like. You see, if I want to do this, Lee, I can do that.
Oh, don't pull that fader down.
Oh, you're sulking now, isn't
it? We're going to get some winners this week. I can feel it in my bones.
We need winners because we need that table updating.
Yeah.
It's the only way we're going to get the table
updated. Well, I've been doing that monthly, you see. I missed the first month, though, and then it was 8 weeks, and this is the 12th Premier League week. Okay. So
I've got a table from IKEA I've put together quicker than you have on that one.
I don't believe that for 1 second.
You're right.
Let's get stuck into this weekend, then. We'll start, as always, with the televised matches. And Bournemouth versus Newcastle is first up, Saturday, 12:45 p.m. Bournemouth 13-10. To win this game. The draw is 21-10 and Newcastle in the market at 23-10. The headline offers, which has changed to an enhanced odds now. Have you seen that, Lee?
Yes.
Enhanced odds now.
Just now.
Glenn Murray to score and Bournemouth to win is 4-1, and Aleksandar Mitrovic to score and Newcastle to win in the betting at 6-1. Derek, Newcastle a little bit unlucky last weekend against Stoke. Drew that game 0-0, but Jack Butland was inspired in that particular match. And Bournemouth, they gave it a go against Southampton in the second half, but were undone in the first half and lost 2-0. And their squad decimated through injury at the moment. It's not the most appetising match for a Saturday lunchtime kickoff, but both teams really need to get 3 points in this one.
Yeah, it's the one armed bandit match, isn't it? The cherries versus the lemons. I was looking at where would I, if forced to have a bet on this game, where would I put my money? And by process of elimination, it's Bournemouth, I think, because Newcastle, how can you back Newcastle the way they've been playing? I'm not fooled by that 0-0 result at Stoke. From the brief highlights I saw, I didn't see anything special from Newcastle. I saw more of the same. They've won none of their last 12. Premier League away games, lost 10 of them, won none, and they just scored 3 goals in that sequence. I mean, I'd want at least 6-1 before backing Newcastle away from home, and they're just over 2-1 here. No, thank you. I mean, Bournemouth, you can make excuses for them. They're actually being dropped in class for this game, haven't they? It's like a sort of a group horse being running in a handicap, because they've been playing against Man City, Spurs, Liverpool and Southampton, and now they've got the fixture everybody wants, Newcastle at home. I actually like the look of Bournemouth here. I thought there was a lot to like about that second half against Southampton. And Southampton are nobody's fools. I think Bournemouth are a better side than Newcastle, and I'll be back in them here.
OK, 13-10 Bournemouth for Derek. Harry Arter should start in this game as well, Lee. Started against Southampton, managed 65 minutes and looked good in that game. He looked like Bournemouth, along with Matt Ritchie, their primary chief threat, really, going forward. So he should start in this game, might even last a 90. Your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, I mean, my immediate thoughts were, I was looking at the bookings, because Bournemouth are the second best behaved team in the Premier League, and Newcastle are the second worst behaved team in the Premier League. So it kind of pits together two teams who might have different... I mean, there's not an awful lot in it in terms of the yellow cards. It's those reds that have really dragged Newcastle down. That enhanced offer, I quite like Mitrovic to score, Mitrovic to get booked, and Newcastle to win. That'd be a nice little treble.
That would be a nice treble.
He can't seem to stay out of the referee's notebook, can he, at the moment?
He's been a little better behaved, hasn't he, recently,
a little,
I suppose.
Yeah. So my first thoughts are, what about the most bookings points? We're not getting... The traders are all over it. 7-10 Newcastle to have the most bookings points in this match. I mean, if you're looking at, in terms of it being a bit of a spicy game, over 45 booking points is 5-4, so you're looking at, you need 5 bookings or a red in there. If you don't know how this works, 10 points for a yellow, 25 for a red. The max any player can get is 35 with two yellows making a sending off. So I looked at that. I mean, I know the reason I was looking at that was because I wasn't really sure on the outrights. You know, as Derek says, you don't really feel like there's enough from that you've seen from Newcastle. Although they are throwing in more and more 30-minute, 40-minute spells that look decent, I think. Is that enough to back them on? I don't think it is, really. I don't think we can be trusting them to go away and get a win. And Derek mentioned the terrible away form they've had. But, you know, like I say, there are signs. You know, yeah, the Newcastle-Stoke game, there were signs there. You know, 16 shots on goal. And it was only that fantastic performance that stopped them scoring. They weren't brilliant, but, you know, they're having a right old go. They had a lot of shots as well in the previous game against, you know, in the game against Sunderland. A bit unlucky to lose 3-0. Obviously, they put six past Norwich. They were really, really good in that first half against Man City. Should have got a goal or two. And, you know, things could have been different. The game before that was a 2-2 draw with Chelsea. I know Chelsea aren't brilliant. So, you know, it's not all doom and gloom. But I just don't know if I can bring myself to back them to beat Bournemouth. What you have got here, though, with the price of 23-10 and a team who I do think are making their way back to some kind of form, they are playing a weakened team here who everyone thinks is going to go down. I think Newcastle will finish much higher than Bournemouth come the end of the season. I'm going to take Newcastle draw no bet. Odds against for an established Premier League team going away and you're getting two results. All right, you get your stake back if it's a draw, but 13-10 for a Newcastle win. I'll take that.
That's against a team that have conceded 12 goals in three Premier League matches as well, isn't it?
So. Yeah, they're no great shakes, Bournemouth, are they? And I think, you know, it'll be interesting to see how they approach this. Will they look to attack? Because they should. And if they do that, I think Newcastle will be able to hit them on the break. So, I think Newcastle will win the game, but I can't trust them just yet. So I give myself some insurance with that draw no bet.
The tea time kickoff on Saturday is Stoke versus Chelsea. Stoke 11-4 to win the game. The draw is 21-10 and Chelsea 11-10. Enhanced odds here with William Hill. Marma Biram Diouf to score and Stoke to win is 8-1. Diego Costa to score and Chelsea to win in the market at 3-1. Lee, Chelsea were arguably quite fortunate to win in midweek against Dynamo Kiev. They really need to string a set of results together now, don't they? Because Jose Mourinho, even though the crowd chanting his name on Wednesday night, they need to put together a good run of four, five, six wins in a row just so the fears about his tenure at Chelsea begin to abate.
Yeah, I agree. I think the Chelsea fans love him, and so they should, really. You know, he won them the title last year. But I agree with you. I think just to shut the media up as much as anything, and not that he cares. I was looking to see if we had a market on where he'd watch the game from. I thought it'd be interesting. half suspect that he'll put one of those comedy kind of clown glasses and a big nose and one of those tashes on and just make his way into the ground somewhere. It wouldn't be a big surprise if he gets in, would it? Like some sort of goes to full hog and does the old Anton Deck thing where he puts prosthetics on and turns up as an old guy just sat on there. Who's that guy there? Looks a bit like an old Jose Mourinho.
Well, given how sour he's been recently, he's halfway there, isn't he, to the old guy act? Yeah. I think.
I suppose he could be sat in a Costa in the corner, couldn't he? You know, might be another option. For the game, I don't know how much of an impact it'll have him not being there. Probably none, given all the stories about the unrest in the camp. They might really enjoy it. But yeah, 11-10 to win at Stoke, where they've got a reasonable record in recent seasons. But we've got some collateral form to go on here, haven't we? Because they only played each other a couple of weeks ago, and there were two strong teams, both having a right go. Actually, one of Chelsea's better performances, but couldn't stick the ball away, to get rid of Stoke, and ended up being knocked out on pens. Stoke look a big price at 11-4, given that result. Although they didn't win it in the end, they were pretty close. One stat that I looked at here was Stoke at home. They averaged 10 shots per game at the Britannia, 3 on target per game, 0.4 shots per game in the 6-yard box. So they don't really get forward. A lot of their shots come from outside the area, and they're not. I don't think they're going to trouble Chelsea, where Chelsea have been found wanting most.
Okay.
And that's players bursting into the box, turning John Terry and making life difficult for them. They seem to be a lot. Everything seems to be outside the area with Stoke. Now, Chelsea aren't an awful lot better either. Away from home, 13 shots per game, which seems a lot. Only 3.6 per game on target. I can see this being a pretty low-scoring game, to be honest with you. I'm not convinced we're going to see a classic here. I think Stoke will be happy with a draw if it ends in a draw come full-time. And I don't think Chelsea will be that upset with that because everyone knows that Stoke's a hard place to go. So I'm going to go right down the middle here, 21-10. I take it, you know, I understand Stoke's a big price. I wouldn't put anyone off having a look at the draw no bet on Stoke if you wanted that. You know, Stoke plus a goal is 7-10 as well. But I'll just go for a straight draw, 21-10.
It's 13-8, by the way, if you fancy Stoke, draw no bet in this match.
I'm not having that stat, by the way, how many shots in the 6-yard box. I mean, who has shot? If you're shooting from the 6 6-yard box, it's a goal anyway, isn't it?
You know,
who had shots in the 6-yard
yeah,
box?
Yeah, I agree with you, actually, Derek.
God, I mean, where'd you get these stats from, Lee?
Not necessarily.
Yeah.
I think it does tell you where they're having their shots from, though.
Yeah, but every team's like that. No, it's not as if you're getting a team who has, oh, look, that 12 shots from inside the 6-yard box.
No, I think if you look at what the goals that Chelsea have been conceding, it's when they've been turned and when, all right, maybe, if we're talking literally in the 6-yard box, maybe...
You are talking literally in the 6-yard box.
But, it's a similar... yeah, what we're saying is that the stats are outside the 18-yard box or not, basically, aren't they? So, what I'm saying is there's no one getting down the wing for Stoke, crossing the ball in with a kind of Giroud-type finish. So,
it doesn't matter if they're going to win this. 11-4, it doesn't matter where they're the going to from.
They didn't win the other week on a cold, dark night at the Britannia.
Yeah, it was a lead they weren't interested. I mean, Chelsea were the only competition they could possibly win. I mean, 11-4 Stoke is ridiculous. This just Chelsea side are there to be taken apart. I mean... And by the way, lads, are you coming to around my way of thinking about Costa?
No.
I'm with you, Derek, again.
He's such a joke player.
He is absolute joke. I mean, one thing you say about Marino's going, he can't. I just cannot see how he can say. It's sort of supporters are saying, well, who else could they get? Who's better out there? Who's worse out there at the moment? He's making the club a laughing stock. People are saying he's good at deflecting the spotlight away from his team when they're not doing too bad. But he's good at deflecting the spotlight. The praise onto himself as well as the spotlight. I mean, that's when they play well, it's all Marino's fault. When they play badly, it's all the players' fault. I mean, the guy is a clown. I'm not having him. He's got the best CV in football. In fact, it's so good he doesn't even need to tell lies. But he will be going. He will be going. If they lose here at the Britannia, and I think they will, I think he'll be gone by Sunday night because. Mm-hmm. This is a team that's won the championship a few months ago, and they're in 15th place now. How can you do that? If I was managing Chelsea this season, they wouldn't be that low. They wouldn't be. How can he keep the job?
Did you hear that caller that you may not have heard? It was on Five Live the other night, and this guy rang up, and he was making this argument about there should be. It was on Champions League night that there should be a European league, and you're Bayern Munich's and you. Man City's and Chelsea's and all the rest, and the Juventus and all the top teams in Europe playing each other on a weekly basis, the old European League thing. And he was a Chelsea fan. And the presenter said, but Chelsea are 15th. And he went, yeah, we've just outgrown the Premier League. And he was serious.
What, really?
He was serious. We've outgrown the Premier League. Like, we won it last year. Can't really bother anymore. Beneath us. Wow.
Yeah, that is Chelsea fans to a T. They're all wondering now who they're going to support next with the way the results are going. If Marino does split from Chelsea, he'll only make one demand, I've heard, that he gets at least 50% of the publicity. I used to love him, but he's just
I'm still adult, clinging on there.
Adult.
Hoping and that he turns it all around.
Stoke 11-4 must be backed.
One more thing about this, the timing of the game as well, Derek. 5:30 p.m. Remember when Chelsea went to Newcastle a couple of months ago now, and that was a 5:30 kick off on a Saturday night, another ground where atmosphere that was shocking, and we've got our resident Stoke fan out in the office. He thinks it's going to be a similar scenario where Stoke swarm on Chelsea early on, but unlike Newcastle, they'll hang on to their lead and win the match.
Yeah, I can
like
well
in the
see
cup.
That. Yeah.
let's move on swiftly. We've got a couple of games live on Sunday afternoon televised. Aston Villa versus Manchester City is first up. 1:30 p.m. kickoff this one. Villa 7-1 to win the game. The draw 3-1. Manchester City 4-9. Remy Gard, Derek, in as Aston Villa boss, first game in charge. Apparently, from everything I've read, he's Arsene Wenger's protege. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but he is. And he's been appointed by Randy Lerner, who's had it's not even a checkered history in appointing bosses at Aston Villa. He's just had a disaster, a nightmare every time he gets someone new in. And he's signed Remy Gard up for the job in the hope, I suppose, that squad, which is littered with players, French players from Ligue 1, hopefully they'll thrive under Remy Gard. That's the theory anyway.
Yeah, but does anybody believe? Does anybody subscribe to that theory other than the people who've appointed Remy Gard? I mean, you know, you've got Premier League, ex-Premier League players, pundits queuing up to say that what Villa need more than anything right now is a manager who knows what the Premier League is all about. Now, you know, you can't say that about Remy Gard. I think it could be as bad an appointment as Tim Sherwood was, and that's bad.
No, Derek. Yeah. No, come on now.
4 points Villa have got from 11 games. You know, who could you get? Pep Guardiola couldn't save them. Remy Gard ain't going to save them. And, you know, when he played Tottenham on Monday night, we looked at Tottenham's price and we knew, all of us, all three of us knew it was too short. But there was just no other option but to go for Tottenham, because you just knew they were going to win. OK, it was a little bit hairy towards the end, but for the most part, they didn't look in trouble. And the same's going to happen for City here, isn't it? They're 4-9. But, you know, you put £90 on that, you're making yourself £40, because Villa won't lay a glove on City. You know, I don't care about the new manager coming in. They need about a dozen new players. The only Aston Villa player I could see getting in any other team in the Premier League is Sinclair, who I was quite impressed with the other night. The rest of them, I just can't see how the Premier League footballers... I think they're a bang-bang average side. I think they'd struggle right now in the Championship. That's how poor Villa are. City are absolute certainties here. And in fact, I can't see how Villa are going to score. So I'm going to back City to win without conceding, which I think is around the even money mark.
City to win to nil in the game is 7-5, Derek. 7-5.
Madness. That's a gift.
Just play devil's advocate here for a second. Derek's mentioned the to win to nil price. Interesting that City's last 8 wins, Derek, in all competitions, both teams have scored.
Is that right?
In those last 8 wins.
Yeah, well, the last 3 times they've won, they've won 3 times at Villa in the last 4 seasons, and all to nil.
Okay.
Yeah, so,
Just put that in your pipe. Lee, what do you think? I mean, City were fantastic, weren't they, midweek against Sevilla? Yeah. Aside with an amazing record, home record, in recent history in European competition. And they went there and attacked them from minute one. And without David Silva and Sergio Aguero, that was an incredible performance, scintillating performance from City.
Yeah, I think they've really... The big plus for City this year is that they've found a system and players who can fill in that gap. You know, I love Aguero, but I think, you know, at times the whole team can revolve around him. And sometimes, I've said this a few times, they can look a little bit pedestrian with him in the side because they're waiting and waiting and waiting. Whereas when they've got, you know, De Bruyne with Sterling, you know, and you know, whoever they put up front, then I think they've got a different way of playing, and it's an equally as effective way of playing. Yeah, they were great. A lot of really good judges are saying it was one of the best European performances they've seen in recent times from an English club. I think Aston Villa need a rear guard rather than a Remy guard here, don't they?
Right guard, given that they're sweating so much.
City could tear them to bits. I can't get City right, though, can I, at the minute? You know, remember this idea that I've had where they're a bit sluggish in the first half. I've missed it. And when I put it up as my nap, I missed it. And what happens last week, all of a sudden, against Norwich, they look sluggish in the first half, and Norwich hold them until the 67th minute, and then they go and beat them. Now when you look back at the... when they've come back from a midweek game, they lost to Juventus in the Champions League, and then they were beaten by West Ham 2-1 at home. They played in the League Cup in midweek, went to Sunderland and won 4-1, lost 4-1 at Tottenham at the weekend game. In the next time they've done that, when they went to Borussia Mönchengladbach, they won 2-1. That first half against Newcastle, they were poor, ended up winning 6-1.
Now, are you tempted by it again, then?
Well, I'm tempted. And the last time they played, by the way, was when they beat Sevilla, and then they had the 0-0 draw against Man United, which, yeah, you can't really call that a bad result, to be fair. Now, I'm not saying that they're not going to beat Villa, but I'm wondering again if it's worth thinking. New manager has to have some sort of impact initially. Now, you can't imagine Remy Gard is going to go in there and go, right, here's what we're going to do, lads, in French. We're going to attack from the off. We're really going to have a go at Man City because I've looked at our strikers and you're all brilliant. No, he's going to have gone in and gone, yeah, do you know what? I don't think we're going to get goals against them, so we're going to batten down the hatches. So, you know, I don't know if I'm going to nap it yet. Probably not. But the old draw Man
Just
City.
Just don't nap anything in this game.
100-30. Draw Man City would be a way to go. The other ways in, as I always say, would be looking at, you know, the first goal after the 30th minute. So can Villa keep it tight for 30 minutes if Man City are a little sluggish, coming back from a fantastic win, you know, and maybe it's a bit of a come down to go to Villa Park after the amazing atmosphere at Sevilla and, you know, and absolutely... silencing them really for large parts of that game. So either the 30-minute first goal after the 30th minute, which if you look down into the goal time and goal section, you find it there, or for the more sensible bet, I suppose, or the easier one to find, It's 5-4, by the way, 31st minute and over the bet, or the half-time draw, full-time City.
That's 100-30 here with William Hill. And Sunday, 4 p.m, we've got the North London Derby. Mm-hmm. Arsenal versus Spurs. Arsenal 3-4 to win this game. The draw is 12-5. And Tottenham in the market at 4-1. I think if you're betting on this match, Lee, you've got to really think about how much stock you put in Arsenal's result midweek against Bayern Munich and how much you think that will affect them going into the North London Derby on Sunday. They were humiliated in Germany against Bayern. A lot of teams, though, have gone to Bayern Munich in the past and been annihilated. Mm. I don't think they had the belief there on Wednesday night, and clearly they're stretched at the moment in terms of the squad. They've lost Hector Bellerin as well for this game, so Joel Campbell likely to start, but they're down to the bare bones at the moment, Arsenal. Any more injuries to, well, one of their key personnel, and they're going to struggle.
Yeah, and isn't this what, you know, as well as the kind of the weak backbone that we always talk about, isn't this what always seems to cost Arsenal? Injuries. You know, you talk to Arsenal fans and they're exasperated by this constant problem that they seem to have with injuries to key players, and more so than any other club, I think. You look at the list of players who are out. Is unbelievable, and some serious long-term injuries as well. I mean, you're looking at, it's still not a bad lineup, is it? You know, maybe Campbell, obviously, who has managed to get off the ground in terms of scoring. Ozil, Sanchez and Giroud, and Ozil's been playing well. Cazorla and Coquelin in the midfield as well. So it's not like it's the worst team in the world.
Koscielny is a doubt for this game as well. He didn't play on Wednesday night. If he's missing, they are exposed defensively.
Definitely.
With Bellerin out.
Yeah, that would be. I mean, I think they'll make every effort to get him playing in this one. Giroud's interesting. I mean, I like Giroud. I think he's a good player. I'm not, you know, he's not the level of, you know, he's not a top, he's not like a Sanchez, but I think he is a good player, and I love the way he does attack the ball. If they can get out into wide places and get the ball in, when I was looking at those stats on the player stats to see who's scoring the most from the least shots, if you like. Giroud scored 6 goals from 21 shots, which is a pretty good. He only started five matches, I think.
How many has he got inside the 6-yard box?
Get out of that one, Phil.
I can find it for you if you want me to. I've got that information at my disposal. I'll come back to me at the end of this preview and I'll tell you. But I think it's a decent, when you look at a lot of the top strikers at the minute, you're looking at, you know, 7 from about 40 shots.
Yes.
On top. So it's a pretty good ratio.
He's arguably having his best season ever, isn't he, for Arsenal, really?
It's pretty good. So how many chances he'll get here? I'm troubled by this, because, you know, I don't know if you've got that stat, but there's an amazing stat about how few times Tottenham actually win, isn't there,
won in 22 trips to Arsenal.
Which is incredible, isn't it, really? And I think this is as good a chance as they're going to have, and 4-1 looks quite a big price, given the injury problems. But I just don't know if the price is fantastic. I just don't know if Tottenham have got it in them, despite the fact that they're playing all right as well, to be fair. It should be a good game, this. I'm going to go for a high-scoring draw. I'm going to go for the draw. I think a 2-2 or something like that. I'm going to go for a draw and over 2.5 goals in this one. I think we
That's
could
a
be
big price.
An absolute cracker. I think there will be goals in it as well. I don't see Arsenal sitting back and defending. The total match goals, it's very, very skinny. Over 3.5 is 6-4, which kind of makes you want to back the unders. So I'll stick with the draw and over 2.5.
That's 17-2, the draw and over 2.5 goals in the match. I think this will be a cracker, Derek. I agree with Lee in terms of the goals expectation here. And Spurs, they've got a young, gritty side. I think they'll do well.
Yeah, they're not as flaky nowadays, it seems, under Pochettino, Spurs, and you can out. I was a bit cruel to them on Monday night against Villa. I thought Spurs are not a side you want to be backing at 2-5 or whatever they were, but they got the job done and they're getting the job done. You know, they're not quite the flair side of old, but the results are flowing. And at 4-1, I think they're actually unmissable here against an Arsenal side that, you know, OK, they got battered by Munich, and people are saying, well, everybody gets battered by Munich, but they also got battered by Sheffield Wednesday two, 3 weeks ago. OK, they had an understrength side, but they've got an understrength side now. I'm looking through that Arsenal side, and, you know, Stardust eludes me. Sanchez, yes, maybe, but he's not quite at it in my eyes at the moment. And the rest of them, I mean, you know, I'm seeing weaknesses more than strengths.
Mesut Ozil, do you not like him, Derek?
No, I think flatters to deceive Ozil. I don't understand the press he gets. He's getting the press, the fantastic press. He's like Jack Wilshere. doesn't do anything in my eyes and yet gets fantastic press purely because he's playing for Arsenal. No, don't see it with him at all. You've got so many weaknesses at the back, it's beyond belief. I think Tottenham are almost unmissable. In a way, it could be Arsenal are probably going to have the Champions League because they can now concentrate on the league, the Europa League. Because they ain't going to be winning the Premier League. That's an absolute cast-iron certainty. Why will they win it this year? It's the worst Premier League we've seen ever, probably.
Yeah.
But, you know, this Arsenal side, there's been a lot better Arsenal sides that have flopped in the league than this one. I can't have it at all. And I think Tottenham are 4-1. Not quite in my better the season mark, but, you know, better of the weekend.
Just drop short of that.
Yes.
One thing just while Derek was talking there, I noticed is I was just looking back at Pochettino's record against the top clubs, and I'll still include Chelsea in this for the time being. Since he took over, they've had a draw at Arsenal, and they've lost at 4-1 at City, lost 3-0 at Chelsea, 3-2 at Liverpool, 3-0 at Man United. I haven't missed anyone there, have I?
No, I think you've got them all there.
And then 1-0 against Manchester United this season, of course, already as well. So, you know, the only point they've picked up at any of the top clubs was at Arsenal last year. So, I'll stick with that draw. Giroud has scored, I found it, 5 in the penalty area and 1 in the 6-yard box.
Okay. Okay.
I think 4 of those 5 were between 5 and 7 yards.
Six and 8 yards out, somewhere like that, in that range. On to the non-televised games this weekend, then. We'll start with Leicester versus Watford. Leicester 5-6 here with William Hill. The draw is 11-5 and Watford are 100-30. The headline offers Jamie Vardy to score and Leicester to win 2-1. Odion Ighalo to score and Watford to win is 8-1. Derek, Jamie Vardy and Leicester City, they just keep on rolling at the moment. Vardy now got a goal in 8 straight Premier League games and he's chasing down Ruud van Nistelrooy's record of 10 straight games with a goal in the Premier League. He's actually 11-1 here with William Hill in the specials section to break that record.
The interesting thing is that they've got this game, obviously.
Then they've got Newcastle away.
Yes.
And then let's say he scores in both those games, Derek.
Yeah.
So he's equal with Ruud van Nistelrooy on 10.
Yeah.
The game that he could break it in at home Saturday night against Man United.
Well, I tell you what, that 11-1 when you first said that, it struck me as a decent bet. I mean, because, you know, what price would he be? He'd 3 even money pokes. In fact, he's probably shorter than evens at home to Watford.
Yeah, he's odds on.
He is odds on.
He'll be maybe the other side of even money at Newcastle, maybe.
Yeah, possibly. 11-10 Newcastle and maybe 7-4 Man United. I think 11-1 is a decent bet, given the way he's playing. I mean, he's amazed me. I mean, he's come from like lower league football, non-league football, and he's taken the Premier League by storm, and it doesn't look like a fluke. He's having a Clive Allen year, isn't he? And I tell you what, he's something like 8-1 I've been seeing prices for Player of the Year. Now, he's showing no signs of stopping, and is there anyone playing better than him at the moment? You know, I think that's a great bet as well. He's done unbelievably well. But Leicester are riding high, principally because of him and to a lesser extent Mahrez. But, you know, you look at the... Okay, that's all said. Leicester's done fantastic and Vardy's done fantastic. But there are odds on here against Watford. And Watford, who are in fantastic form. The odds command the bet in Watford here. That's all I can say. They're over 3-1. And at the end of the season, there'll be nothing to choose between these two sides. I think there's 6 or 7 points between them now, which shows how well Watford have been doing, by the way. Come the end of the season, they'll probably be locked on about, 40 points. And Watford, you won't see prices like that. Watford over 3-1 to win at Leicester again. It's a massive, massive bet.
100-30 Watford for Derek in this game. Glad you mentioned Riyad Mahrez as well, Derek, because in his last 10 Premier League games, he's got 7 goals and 5 assists. So it's Vardy and Mahrez, really, that have teamed up. And they've been the catalyst to Leicester's success in the Premier League this season. Interesting from a goals perspective here as well, if you're looking at this, Lee, because Leicester's games this season have seen the most goals in the Premier League, mm-hmm. 42. Watford's games have seen the fewest,
yeah.
Only 20 goals in their games this season. So I suppose it's where the Watford can stifle this Leicester side.
Can I just interject very briefly,
yes,
there? Watford have conceded 10 goals in the Premier League this season. 9 of them have come in the second half. So, you know, they stifle in the first half and then maybe ever go for it in the second.
Yeah, that is interesting. Maybe highest scoring half to be the second half in this game, perhaps.
Yeah. I mean, they're still the fifth best defence in the Premier League, and the teams above them are Manchester United, Arsenal, Tottenham, Man City. So, you know, they're going along great guns. Having said that, they're also the fifth worst scoring team in the Premier League. The teams below them, Stoke, Watford, Aston Villa. That's fourth, actually. I must learn to count more. Or better. Vardy and Ighalo are interesting. Ighalo's recovering from a dead leg. They think he'll play. Whether that'll maybe just slow him down a little bit. But Vardy, 11 goals from 44 shots this season. Mahrez, 7 from 28 shots. Ighalo, 7 from 32 shots. Three of the best strikers in the Premier League going up against each other here. Should be goals, really. But cue a tight match, because that's what Watford do best, I suppose. It's 4-1 for Vardy and Ighalo to both score in the match. Some people might be tempted by that. I don't think Leicester know how to play tight at home. I think they'll have a right go at this, and I think Watford will be happy to hit them on the break. So I can see goals here, despite Watford's excellent defensive record. I think we will see some goals. I think over 2.5 goals, 8-11, decent enough.
Yeah.
But given what you've said there about the second half, over 1.5 second half goals is even money. I can see that the way Leicester goal threat is. I think I'll play that over 1.5 second half at even money.
Just you having that, by the way. One of them, I think it was it Deeney, you said, with trouble by it. You might be missing game over with a dead leg.
Oh no, Ighalo it was.
You never play for the school team, would you? You get a dead leg every lesson at school. Yeah.
He's fit to start, having picked up a dead leg in last weekend's win over West Ham.
And then the other fellow's carrying a troublesome Chinese burn.
his knuckle was hurt in a recent conker fight.
I was that wet when I was at school. I missed the complete day. Next day, I didn't just miss the PE lesson. I didn't come in for a few days after I had a dead leg.
What was the girl's name? I'll give you the
Martha.
Leicester 5-6 to win the game. The draw 11-5, and Watford 100-30. On to the Hammers. West Ham taking on Everton Saturday 3 p.m. West Ham 13-8 to win the game. The draw is 21-10, and Everton 9-5. Headline offers: Andy Carroll to score and West Ham to win is 4-1. Ross Barkley to score and Everton to win is in the betting at 6-1. Lee, Everton have got an exceptional record in this fixture. In their last 14 matches against the Hammers, they've won 10 and drawn 4. And they come into this match on the back of that 6-2 win against Sunderland. I mean, late in the day there against Sunderland in that match, they made Everton look like world beaters, didn't they?
Everton
were knocking about like Barcelona later on in that match.
They were, yeah. And that says more about Sunderland, doesn't it? And their frailties, I suppose, than it does against Everton, because they were just open for them. You know, West Ham, that early season kind of form where they were struggling at home, they seem to have got the hang of that. And, you know, the last game, of course, at home was the 2-1 win over Chelsea, when I'd kind of said before that, well, look who they've played up until Chelsea: Leicester, Bournemouth, Newcastle, Norwich. Really should have been winning those games. And then they go and get their business done against Chelsea. Everton have done very little wrong. 3-0 winners at Southampton, drew at Tottenham, drew at Swansea, beat West Brom, lost to Arsenal, but looked very good in the second half doing it. I think we're in for a belter here. I think it'll be an absolute cracker. I don't think either team will look to be too tactical and look for the draw. I think we'll see two teams having a good go at this. The total match goals is 7-10 for over 2.5, which is a little skinny for me. I think it's another entertaining draw. I think both will cancel each other out here, but I think we'll see some really good attacking play. And there's so many good goal scorer bets in this match as well. I think we all love Payet, don't we? 2-1 to score in this game. Jelovic and Zarate, whoever plays, 15-8. Sacco's a little bit short now.
He's out as well, Sacco. He's unlikely to play Diafra Sacco. I think Andy Carroll will probably start up front, given what I've read in the press.
One player who the Everton fans absolutely love him. It's taken me a little while to kind of to show his face, if you like, is De La Feo. And I think recently he's really started to play very well. Once he's in top form, he could be a real explosive player against teams like West Ham, who will give him time to play. 12-5 to score. it reminds me a little bit of a kind of a Coutinho, but without the confidence. Someone who can get the ball, will have a look up, and will have a shot from anywhere. And you know, he's got that great kind of the same kind of shot that Coutinho does, where he just seems to bend it into the top corner at will, like he's tapping the ball in. So I don't mind that. 12-5 for Delafield to get on the score sheet here against an open West Ham team, but an entertaining game. I could go for the over 3.5, but. I'll go for the draw here.
21-10.
Both to score.
Yeah, the draw. I mentioned Diafa Sakho out. James Collins, who was sent off late in the day for a tackle last week on Odionagalo.
That was a
mentalist tackle, wasn't it? Really. Winston Reid is back. He'll replace him in the centre of West Ham's defence alongside Tompkins on Saturday afternoon. How do you see this, Derek?
It's a tough one, this. Everton's record at West Ham is fantastic. West Ham are dropping points at home to teams that you wouldn't expect them to. But Everton haven't won enough lately. They're getting a lot of credit, especially after that 6-2 win over Sunderland. But I tell you what, worse teams than Everton could have put six past Sunderland the way they defended. They're not winning enough, in my eyes, to be worth a bet at these kind of odds. And West Ham, as I say, their home record, it's dodgy, isn't it? I mean, these are some of the teams they've met recently. Leicester, Norwich, Watford, Sunderland, and they couldn't beat any of them. So they're a bit sure for me to back them to beat Everton. I'll go for the draw lightly. I think it could be an entertaining draw, this one.
On to Sunderland versus Southampton next. Sunderland 4-1 to win this game. The draw is 11-5, and Southampton 4-5. Sunderland did look dreadful last weekend, but these prices, Derek, they're not too far away from the prices last weekend when Southampton were at home against Bournemouth.
Yeah,
and it's worth remembering that in that game against Everton, it was 2-2 after 55 minutes, and then that Coates own goal completely killed off Sunderland.
Yeah,
Southampton have been good this season. I just think the prices aren't. I thought Southampton might be even money for this game.
Yeah, well, they've been overrated like for all season and before that. Southampton. I've watched them and I don't know how they get results, but they do. You know, it's a lot. I can't remember the last time they lost. So I suppose the bookies are right to keep them on their side. But there's something not right about these odds. Yeah, I know Sunderland were absolutely atrocious last week, defending anyway. I did catch that 15-minute break just after, you know, around the half-time mark when they came back at Everton. It was 2-2, and you thought, if there's going to be a winner here, it's going to be Sunderland. They looked a much better side for a short spell against Everton until they started leaking goals. Before that, remember, they'd given Newcastle a bit of a pacing in the second half of that game. Yeah, the bang average Sunderland. They're as average as Aston Villa, and they probably will go down in my eyes. I don't think, you know, Hippo Head will save them. But they are going to win a game every now and again in the Premier League because they've done that season after season. And 4-1 at home against a Southampton side who are no world beaters. The odds are wrong. Yeah, I agree with you, Dave. I've got to back Sunderland here at 4-1.
Sunderland draw no bet, by the way, in the market at 12-5. And even though Southampton's run is good at the moment, Lee, you've got to look at that away form. They are unbeaten in their last five away from home, but they've drawn four of those.
That'll do.
Yeah, I know.
Hard to beat.
They've only won one of twelve.
Very hard to beat. That's it.
Away from home in the Premier League.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not. I don't think they'll necessarily go there and beat Sunderland out of sight, but. Very, very difficult team to break down. The thing about Southampton, and the more I see them, the more I get this, is that they're incredibly well organised. I watched that Liverpool game, and I thought they never really pushed the boat out until they had to get a goal. You look at the game last week; it was a really weird game against Bournemouth. They looked very, very good in the first half. It was like they said at half time, "I've got two goals. Sit on this. Let's practice just keeping them out." They just didn't give Bournemouth huffed and puffed and a right old go at it. It was almost like they said, "Look, we'll just control this now." And I think they'll be very hard for a Sunderland team lacking in confidence to break down. I don't see why Sunderland. And I know they've beat Newcastle, brilliant, but you know we've seen time and again how they can get themselves up for games like that. And they were against 10 men for 45 minutes, of course. Remember when all the goals, or two of the three goals came after the penalty on the stroke of half time. So I don't see Sunderland having enough to beat Southampton here. There's a reason why they're that price, and I think it's because they're not quite good enough to win the game, and the traders are trying to tempt like people like you two in, and it's clearly working.
That was quite disparaging, wasn't it, Derek?
That's true, though.
And me. One of the things about the team news here, Sam Allardyce obviously is changing formation week in, week out. I was reading this thing about what he's got, you know, a few players out in defence, but the Black Cats boss has plenty of options in attacking positions around the strikers. Here are his options: Adam Johnson, Jermaine Lentz, Jordi Gomez, Ola Toivonen, and Fabio Barini. I mean, come on. I mean, what? All right. Oh, yeah, he's got loads of options. None of them are very good. He's just got loads of options. One thing for Southampton to be aware of, though, Wanyama's banned, and he's been an ever-present this season. He's been an excellent player for them as well. So, you know, how they replace him, it looks like Oriol Romeu will come in that holding midfield role, which is very important for Southampton because that's what controls everything for them. You know, they managed to keep the defence tight by making sure they've got that kind of four-man defence and a midfielder sat in front. So it's going to be interesting how they replace him. But look, Southampton won't go mad. They'll just wait for Sunderland to make mistakes. And let's not forget, they were one of the first teams to benefit from Sunderland making mistakes. We saw the first of the Sunderland capitulations when they went to St Mary's, remember, October last year, 8-0. So this fixture, I think, will give them some heebie-jeebies.
Okay. So you're going with Southampton to win?
I'm going to go with the draw, 11-5.
Oh, you're going with the draw, 11-5?
Yeah. I don't think... Odds on, it's just, you know, they won't try hard enough to do it.
Okay. Manchester United versus West Brom is next. 4-11, Manchester United to win this game. The draw is 3-1, West Brom 11-1. I think, Lee, this has the potential to be the worst game in the Premier League this season. I really believe that because Manchester United aren't playing incisive attacking football. The stuff that it's dirge what they're turning out week in, week out. West Brom away from home. They've only conceded two goals in the Premier League all season. Both of those came at Palace. The other four games they've kept clean sheets. I couldn't believe that under 2.5 goals in this game was the same price as over 2.5 goals.
Oh,
really.
I can.
Can you? Think there's going to be goals in this game?
Well, Man United have hardly played at Old Trafford in recent times. You know, they played against Man City, 0-0. Fair enough. That's a good result for Man United, I think, against, you know, the team who look like who are obviously favourites to be Premier League champions. It was the 26th of September, a full month before that they last played there, when they beat Sunderland 3-0. Stuck 3 past Liverpool in the game before that at Old Trafford. Admittedly, there was a 0-0 draw before that, but I think I'm not saying it's going to be a 3-goal, you know, 3-0 or anything, because we know what West Brom will do. They'll go there and they'll try and shut up shop. But they haven't been doing that too well recently. Good win against Norwich, where they won 2-0. Conceded 2 at Palace and 3 at Norwich, admittedly, in the League Cup. But yeah, they will definitely try and do that. But all this stuff about Rooney, I know you're not his biggest fan at the minute, Rooney.
I think he's terrible.
Despite the fact you keep putting pictures of him on this podcast every single time we put a podcast out. It's like he hates him, but I've put another picture of Rooney scoring goals. Yeah, I think he just fancy him a little bit. And why wouldn't you, by the way?
So it's the hair that does it for me.
At some point, they won't continue to be this bad, Man United, will they? And I think West Brom are a team that... They're the fourth in the Premier League still. They're only 4 points off top spot, Man United. I think they win this and win it well. I think it'll be one that they suddenly cut loose on. I'm not saying I'm absolutely convinced about it. And 4-11 is well short, but I don't know. West Brom, every so often, just throw in an absolute shocker. And I wonder if this will be the one. Remember the... I always think whenever this game crops up, I always think about that weird game. That weird game that Sir Alex Ferguson had against West Brom. Do you remember that one? When it was 5-5 at West Brom.
I couldn't remember that, actually.
It was the last game of the season, wasn't it? Wasn't it? His last game. His last ever game. And it finished 5-5 at West Brom. Since then, there have been quite a lot of goals in the fixture as well. West Brom won at Old Trafford last year.
They've won the last
year.
Two trips to Old Trafford.
So, you know, they've had good form against them. And, you know, Berahino's had goals against them as well. It was 2-2 at the Hawthorns last time they played there. Berahino scored. So, no, I'm going to go over 2.5. I think Man United will win it as well. So, Man United to win. Both teams to score 11-4, or Man United to win and over 2.5. Take your pick on that.
Okay. Man United did edge out CSKA Moscow midweek 1-0 through that Rooney goal that Lee mentioned. But if Seydou Doumbia had been a bit more clinical in front of goal and Michael Smalling hadn't made that last gasp defensive tackle.
Or Chris Smalling's brother, Chris.
It could have spelled European disaster for Manchester United.
We could have done. He should have scored. And they would have been one down. And the way they were playing, you couldn't see them coming back. And then Shrek goes and nods one in at the other end. I can't have Man United at 4-11. What you're going to hear is, when you see an 11-1 in the Premier League, which is about as big as you get these days now, you don't get anything much bigger. And you can never make a case for them. But you can make a case for this. You can make a case for West Brom winning here, because they've won it the last two seasons at Old Trafford, when Man United were arguably a better side than they are now. This on United side, don't convince anybody. I don't care where they are in the league. They're only there in fourth place because the league is shocking this season. United are as well. In fact, you know, they played the last five times these have met, you know, whether it's Old Trafford or the Hawthorns, West Brom have only lost one. Two, drew two. And they've only, in their last nine Premier League away games, West Brom, they've only lost two of those as well. You know, they've got it right on the road. They just don't give anything away. And that's against sides who like to attack. They're playing against flat-faced side who don't like to attack. I can't believe Lee's going for goals. Dave's right. This will be the worst game, not just this season, ever in the history of football. You can get 12-5 for the Baggies with a goal start. I'm tempted by the 11-1, by the way, but I'm going to go for that. 12-5 Baggies with a goal start.
Good stuff. Penultimate game this weekend is Norwich versus Swansea. Norwich 13-8 to win this game. The draw 21-10 and Swansea 9-5. There's always one match on the coupon that's impossible to get a handle on. Yeah. I think it's this one. Norwich have lost four straight in the Premier League. Swansea come into this on the back of that 3-0 defeat at home against Arsenal last weekend. Baffer Timby Gomes had the perfect opportunity to open the scoring in that match, but he blew it. And he's been dire recently. He's without a goal in seven, having scored 9 in 10 prior to that. This looked difficult, Derek.
Yeah, I mean, you'd have to be the 10 Premier League games, and this would be the 10th match you'd have a bet on. It's impossible to call. It really is. Both sides playing below form, I would suggest. I'd expect improvement in both of them. But Norwich just don't seem to be able to put a win together. Swansea don't seem to be able to put a couple of passes together at the moment, which is unbelievable for them. They were really poor against Arsenal. And even when they won against Aston Villa, you know, no one got excited about that result. It really is impossible to call this. And I think the draw is the biggest price of the three. Why wouldn't you go for that?
Yeah, 21-10 the draw, Lee.
Yeah, it is a tricky one to call. I think, you know, given the prices, if you wanted to go for a winner, then you'd have to go for Swansea at nearly 2-1 because they have got the ability. But like you guys said, their away form doesn't fill you full of confidence. I think, you know, and again, it's one of those games where Norwich have to have a go at this. You know, the problem for them is that they seem to play into the hands of counter-attacking teams. And I think Swansea, although they're a bit of a, you know, they like to pass it around at home and retain possession. I think, you know, what we've seen from Andre Ayew is that he loves to counter-attack. I think it's 2-1. He's an interesting bet to score here against a Norwich team who I think will leave spaces down the wings. We've seen from him so far that he's, you know, he's not shy in front of goal. You know, he knows where the goal is, and his finishing's been really good. I think 2-1's a decent price. Gomes, they're talking about Eder coming in to replace Gomes soon. I don't know how many more chances he'll get. Is it 7 now without a goal?
I think that's it.
So what you said. But yeah, 5 goals already this season for Andre Ayew. Scored against his brother as well, didn't he, the other week? I'll go for him. 2-1. We had a bit of luck with him at the start of the season, didn't we? So I'll go back in with him.
I like it. Andre Ayew to score any time at 2-1 here with William Hill. And we finish with the non-televised game on Sunday, 4 p.m. kickoff. Liverpool versus Crystal Palace. Liverpool 7-10. The draw 11-5. And Palace in the market at 5-1. The Jurgen Klopp revolution in full swing now, Mr. Phelps. They've won 3 straight games after Thursday night's win against Rubin Kazan. This will be a test, though, against Crystal Palace, a team that we've mentioned numerous times on the podcast are good away from home, or have been under Alan Pardew. They've lost at Leicester and Man City, though, recently. Man City in the Capital One Cup in the last couple of weeks away from home. But overall, under Pardew, they've won 9 of 13 away in the Premier League.
Yes, like you say, that started to kind of go on the wane a little bit. Yeah. They've been under par. Not just under Pardew recently, yeah. I think, Crystal Palace. Klopp hasn't won a home league game yet, hasn't he, at Anfield? Did you see the interview that they showed when Jordan Ibe they asked him about, oh, so Jordan Ibe got his first goal, and he's taken Jordan Ibe under his wing a little bit more, and there's been a lot of press this week about how he's, you know, he's like a different player. And he's got this weird thing, Klopp, where he had a deadpan straight face while the question was starting to be asked. And as soon as the interviewer said, tell me, and so, you know, good performance, congratulations, brother. Tell me about Jordan Ibe's first goal. And he just goes into this unbelievable grin from nowhere. Okay. It's like naught to grin in like 0.5 seconds. So, you know, obviously he's having some sort of impact there, you know, cuddling all the players and they come off. And he's obviously, you know, making... I think it's interesting that he hasn't gone in there in a blaze of glory and had this unbelievable honeymoon period. He's gone in there and it's been a steady progression, hasn't it? And they're getting better and better. And we're seeing that on the pitch. Palace are the bogey team a little bit, though, aren't they, Derek?
Yeah, you know, they are.
I always like mentioning this, the old, when the Chris Stanbull thing, you know, when they lost the Premier League.
Yes.
And Suarez was there, of course, still, way back when. And they just always seem to have this little bit of a problem. Ever since they beat, did they beat Palace 9-1, was it, that way back
9-0.
When? 9-0 it was. Yeah. Ever since then, I think Crystal Palace have had the sign of Liverpool, but I expect them to get the job done here. Tempting to go with Palace, given what they did, you know, at Chelsea, of course. And, you know, but can they do that again? I'm not sure. I think Liverpool will control this game and shut Palace out. Tottenham did that. Leicester did that. They only got one goal against Watford, Crystal Palace. So, you know, their goals have dried up a little bit. I'm going to go for Liverpool to win an under 2.5 goals here against Crystal Palace. And the Klopp slow revolution to continue to bear fruit.
That's 5-2 here with William Hill, Liverpool, and under 2.5 goals. Derek?
Palace 5-1 all day long. They won their 3-1 last season when, you know, Liverpool weren't quite as bad as they have been this season. Yeah, okay, they've shown an improvement, Lee. You're right, 3 straight wins. One of them was against the Bournemouth side that had players you'd never heard of. Ruben in midweek were absolutely atrocious. And in the other game that you'd hold up as a sign that Klopp is working the Oracle was the game against Chelsea last week. But the thing is, beating Chelsea now is no feather in the cap anymore, is it? Everybody's beaten them. And I'm not sure Liverpool are suddenly a different team. I want to see more evidence of that. And I'm not backing them at odds on here to beat a Palace team who are still very good away from home. Yeah, the results are not quite as rosy as they were, as they used to be on the road. But still, they played 5 away games in the league and they've won 3. Mm. Christ, you know, big teams would kill for that kind of record. And a 5-1, it's just too big. It's too big. Palace for me.
5-1, Crystal Palace for Derek. Nap time, chaps. Derek, you lead us off this week.
Oh, God. Well, you know what? There's a few here. I rich pickings on the coupon this weekend. And I think the best bet is Tottenham, you know, at 4-1 to win at Arsenal.
Okay. Tottenham for Derek at 4-1.
Do you know what I really wanted? I really want Man City to score over 1.5 second half goals. But you can't have that.
Is it not
there? I don't think you can have it pretty much. I've searched and searched, but unfortunately I can't find it. So I'm going to have to go for Man City over 2.5 goals in the match. So to score 3 goals at Villa, 17-10.
Okay, Man City to score over 2.5 goals at Villa, 17-10.
And look, if they've scored 2 and you're getting late, it's late on, don't fear. Don't sweat.
Yeah.
They've scored 4 in the 88th minute or after this season away from home.
Okay,
Man City, so.
Okay, that goes in. Man City over 2.5 goals at 17-10. I'm in a quandary. You know, I'm tempted to throw West Brom in there at 11-1
to
win at Man United. I really am.
I think that's
a massive price.
Yeah.
I'm gonna chicken out here instead.
You know, Derek, you said it's a shocking. Don't look at the league table. It's a shocking league. The 4th in a terrible division. West Brom are 12th in a terrible division.
I know, but I think
it's still a terrible division, isn't it? Wherever you are in it,
they're only 7 points behind United, though, and they're 11-1.
I think it's a big price. The way Manchester United are playing is dismal. I'm going to play it safe. I'm going to go Sunderland plus a goal.
It's gone from 11-1 to even money.
I'm chicken out completely here.
He's still got a 1 and a 1 on it.
Winner.
One stroke one.
Sunderland plus 1 against Southampton. I think they're too big in the outright market there. So Tottenham 4-1 for Derek. Over 2.5 Manchester City goals against Villa for Lee at 17-10. And I'm playing Sunderland plus 1 at even money. 26-1. Nice round number there for you. 26-1 treble this weekend. Thank you for your company, Derek.
Pleasure.
Thank you, Lee.
Thank you.
Thanks to everyone for listening. Remember, you can download this via audioboom.com. Just type in William Hill, and you can check us all out on Twitter as well, at D Kellner, at Lee Phelps, and at Bet Like a Pro. And myself, Lee, and Derek will be back next weekend.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.